Hey creators, today I had the pleasure of speaking with Oscar Owen. Oscar is a YouTuber with over 1 million subscribers and he's also the owner of learnmagic.com. He has grown the biggest magic school in the world and has mastered the art of creating digital products. So of course, we dive into his YouTube success and he shares with us his top tips for getting started on YouTube and talks about why your first 10 to 15 videos aren't as important as you think. We also discuss the mindset shift of how to make YouTube your business rather than just your hobby, and even explore how he managed to market and sell his courses and even outsource almost every job that he possibly can to get to a stage where he's running a hugely successful brand with ease. I know you guys are going to get a lot of value from this one. So as always, I'm going to shut up so that we can dive straight into the interview. Hello, Oscar. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for coming. I'm so excited to speak with you today because you have built such an incredible business and incredible audience on online. So I just want to dive deep into how you've done that, because as I'm sure you know, my audience are all content creators and entrepreneurs who all want to be like you. I want to be like you. So I'm very excited to talk to you about all that kind of good stuff today. So why don't we start by you giving us an introduction as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Oscar Owen. I'm a magician and YouTuber and I live in London. So I'm 24 years old and I started doing YouTube back in like 2016, 2017. So that's quite early on. And then since then I've built up my channel and it's now got about 1.2 million followers and 250 million views. And the channel teaches the art of magic. So if you want to learn sleight of hand, if you want to learn how to amaze people at the bar or become a professional magician, that's what my channel teaches. And then off the back of that, I've launched businesses that allow people who want to invest in their magic and know a bit more beyond just YouTube to support me as a creator. And that's so I've basically built a course off that, and that's a six-figure course.
Nice.
That does well. So if you want to talk about that or YouTube strategy, I'm more than happy to offer as much value as possible.
We'll talk about all of it, don't worry.
Of course.
But first, I want you to bring me back to, did you say 2016?
Yeah.
When you first started your YouTube channel. So what was your motivation behind starting your channel back then?
Well, it started off, my motivation to actually begin doing magic was probably, it's probably the best place to start, which was, I think I was on YouTube actually, and I saw David Blaine or Dynamo perform some magic. And so I didn't know magic at this point. And I just remember seeing them perform, seeing the reactions and just watching them going like, damn, I want a bit of that. I want to make people feel that way and make people have that sense of astonishment and wonder. So I started going on YouTube and started learning magic from YouTube. So that was my main primary source. And I was just spent like a year consuming magic, started reading books, started speaking to magicians. And after doing all that, I kind of realized that the videos on YouTube were good. And this is 2016. So before, you know, you could just film something on your iPhone. Most people film their stuff on like webcams and the quality of videos just wasn't that good. And I've always been someone who's quite creative. And I just thought, you know what? I love teaching and I think I can teach magic better than what else is out there. So I started making really cinematic and mystical YouTube videos. If you go back to my very first ones, there's a very high production quality from the very first video that I made. And I basically started doing that. The videos picked up, people enjoyed it, and they started using that as a place to learn magic. And the intention was never to become like a YouTuber. It wasn't even a job back in 2016. If someone said, I want to become a YouTuber, it was like, what do you mean? But I kept doing it and I kept doing it for the last 5-6 years and it's just grown and grown and grown. And now it is my full-time job and income. So
yeah, I love that. Do you know what I love about that story? When I speak to a lot of creators, they'll come to me and say, look, this is actually what I want to speak about. So let's say it's like social media marketing, or maybe it's they want to teach other people how to cook.
Yeah.
But they'll come to me and be like, I'm not an expert in it though. So they feel like they can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, well, just because you're not an expert now doesn't mean that you won't be 100%. In the future. So anyone could become an expert in a topic. You just have to consume yourself in it, learn everything you can, and then create. Like, would you agree?
Oh, 100%. So if you want to become a coach in anything, forget even YouTube. If you want to teach people how to do something, you don't need to be the best person in the world to do something. You just need to be a few steps ahead of the people that you're teaching.
Yeah.
And that's so important. Because if you're to be a world famous magician to teach magic, then there'd be like 5 magic coaches in the world. And obviously there's way more.
Yeah.
So you don't need to be Mr. Beast to teach people how to do YouTube. If you've got a set of skills that people want to learn, and you can teach people those skills, then that's the beauty of YouTube. Anyone can become a content creator if they've got the right tools and strategy and process to actually follow to start their journey on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay, so it's 2016. You've decided that you're going to learn how to do magic tricks and then teach others, right? So how old are you around this point?
17. Still at school.
So at what point did things change and were you like, wait a minute, this has legs?
So super gradual, really. It was actually in the last couple of years. I was like, oh, maybe I'll do this full time. Because I was still at school, still at university. So I was at Durham University studying a degree. So even then it was something I did on the side. And it was going very well. But I think there is, as I mentioned earlier, 5 years ago, being a YouTuber wasn't even a job.
Yeah.
So even, it was more COVID, I think, that
right.
that catalyzed people becoming TikTokers and
yeah,
YouTubers.
Yeah, I completely agree, yeah.
So it was a very gradual change. It was when I finished university, I actually went and applied for a bunch of jobs, social media based, obviously, in marketing, because that was where my skill set was. And then I got offered jobs. And I just, when it came to like crossing the T's and dotting the I's and saying, yes, I'm going to work for you, I was like, well, I'm actually earning more money doing YouTube and maybe I'll just do this a bit longer. So I did it for another year. And then I was like, oh, it's growing. And I did it for another year. And then I was like, oh, wait a second, I'm now a full-time YouTuber. Yeah. That's what I do. So it was, there was never like a light bulb moment where I was like, all right, I'm going to burn the boats and just absolutely go for YouTube. It was just something that came naturally.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. Right, so we're now at a point where you're starting to realize that actually this could be like a full-time career for you. And that's really exciting. So what were the things that you did once you kind of realized that this had legs? Because obviously at the start you mentioned you have a course, so you've diversified your income.
Yes.
So when you first went full-time, did you have a course already or was the income primarily from your YouTube AdSense?
Yeah, so before I was full-time, I made the course back in 2020. So it's been running for a long time and even though it was doing well then, I think the big change for me was the mindset shift. I think a really important point is the mindset shift from treating YouTube like a hobby to treating it like a business.
Mm.
So that was a switch. Mm. And for me, I was sitting there, I was going, okay, I've spent a year out of university. I don't have a job because I'm doing YouTube.
Mm.
I've now got to treat YouTube like a business.
Yeah.
So what does that involve? That means starting to outsource things, starting to actually get a regular schedule on my videos. That means trying to make the best videos possible. Although I was already trying to do that, but like I wouldn't really care about views and subscribers as much as I maybe should have done just because it was a hobby. I was throwing up a video and then I was doing other things. So it was that mindset shift between treating YouTube like a business that really made me go, okay, I'm now serious about this. And that's when I started like running paid ads to my course, for example, and outsourcing different things to try and optimize each part of my channel to make it what it is today.
Yeah. I definitely want to dive into a few of those points, but before we do,
of course.
I always find it really interesting when I speak to creators who had this shift because if I'm being honest, I don't think I had the shift. I think I went into it with that mindset because I'd worked in the industry for so long.
Yeah.
And you know, I was at a certain point where I was like, this is going to be a business pretty quick. But I do know that when you have that mindset shift from hobby to business, sometimes it could be quite difficult because there's so many studies on this. The second you start to earn money from something that you are passionate about, it changes your relationship with it because now it's a job. And it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it anymore or it's not a passion project for you, but it does change your relationship with it. So did you experience anything like that?
Yeah, so the big problem I first have was, as I just mentioned there, I'll stick to a schedule. The worst videos I've ever made was when I had to make one video a week sticking to a schedule because it forced videos out of me. It made me, oh gosh, I can't just relax this weekend. I've got to come up with a new idea. So I started off, that was one of the big things. You hear so many YouTubers saying, oh, be consistent, stick to a schedule. And I started doing that and it did change my relationship. I stopped enjoying the videos that I was making and the videos weren't as good.
Yeah.
I didn't really put my heart and soul into them.
Mm.
So I just scrapped that and I was like, no, I'll treat it like a hobby, but I'm just gonna be much more precise over the other aspects of it that will make a video do well.
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Beast, he said this in an interview the other day, which is like, it's much easier to get a video that gets, let's say 10 million views or 50 million views in his case, than it is to make 10 videos that get a million views.
Yeah.
So that's what I've just focused on. Instead of trying to do one video a week, it's more like one video a month for me, which, but those videos I'd spend a long time on the thumbnails, the ideas, the tricks, the teaching, outsourcing the editing to the best editors I can find.
Mm.
Really just trying to make it the best video possible because if that video then gets a million views, well, it's better just to do one video like that than 10 videos that get 100,000 views.
Yeah, you raised such a good point. And this is something that I've noticed is a pattern between every successful like creator. So creators who I meet who are at your stage, like a million subscribers or followers or above, you all have the same approach in the sense that you're like, okay, I'm actually going to play the long game here rather than the short term, let's just get a video up and running, which I'm definitely guilty of versus that, okay, it might take me a month to create this video, but the video will perform better.
Yeah.
And I remember I literally bring her up all the time ever since I met her because she's a very impressive creator. She's called Cleo Abram. She's a video journalist, and I met her in New York at like an event. And I remember speaking to her and she was like, what do you do with like your days and stuff? And I was like, oh, I'm usually running the business and blah, blah, blah. Like I probably only spend like a few hours a week creating content.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what about you? And she was like, she spends all her time on her content. She's like, yeah. She is researching. She's reaching out to people. Like her days are spent creating her video content, and her content is maybe 10 minutes long, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
Like you watch it and you're like, oh my God. No, of course this takes all of your time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she's incredibly successful and good at what she does. So I think that is an interesting approach that I'm personally starting to see maybe it's time to switch over to, because I'm seeing a lot of creators have a similar approach. So I'm really glad you brought that up.
100%. I think one of the problems people find with that approach is the scary thing. Imagine you spend like 3 weeks making a video, you upload it and it gets no views.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily, it might, but there are so many ways to like diagnose that.
Yeah.
So maybe it is a great video, but your thumbnail and title aren't good. Mm-hmm. Or maybe your thumbnail and title are great, but they don't represent the video that you create. So
yeah.
People click off. So normally it's not about the video itself not being a good video, because if you have spent 3 weeks on it, it probably is a good video.
Yeah.
It just might not be an interesting topic.
Yeah.
And people don't really care as much as you think they do. Mm. So normally it's when you can have like an outsider perspective on those kind of videos that don't perform well, you can really try and analyze why it is that did it. But often people think, oh, it's only got 50 views and I wanted to get 10,000 views. Mm. I'll just throw up 5 videos because the chance of one of them going well is much higher.
Yeah, it's higher, yeah.
So, but it's normally about just being a little bit more precise is the word that I use sometimes, just with your videos, a bit more analytical, being like, okay, but why did people not watch it? What is the feedback I can get? And approaching YouTube that way, as opposed to, just like chucking stuff up and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, I agree. I will also say that I think, and sometimes I have to catch myself, because sometimes I realize that we are in like a fairly privileged space because we have an audience. So it's often easier for us to make that switch. So for me to be like, actually guys, I'm going to upload fewer videos and I'm going to spend longer on them. But really all I need is my existing audience. If everyone in my existing audience watched one of my videos, then that would be a very good video.
Yeah.
Whereas if I was starting out and I didn't have an audience yet, it is even more of a risk than what we're talking about. Do you know what I mean? Because then you're really 100%. Like, wait, I have 20 subscribers. And if I spend 6 weeks on this video, I've just lost 6 weeks because the video doesn't perform well. Do you know what I mean?
So the advice I always give to people who are just, if they're watching this and it's like, you're just starting out on YouTube, you've got new channel and you're like, okay, I want to start a new channel. What do I do? I always say the first 10 to 15 videos you make, don't worry about views. Mm. Don't worry about subscribers. Don't even worry about like producing the best thumbnail or whatever. Just make 10 to 15 videos and get 1% better on each video. And the reason for that is to become good at doing YouTube, you've got to do YouTube. YouTube is a process by which you learn by doing it. You don't just watched 15 videos on how to make a good thumbnail and your next thumbnail will be amazing.
Yeah.
You've got to make 15 thumbnails.
Yeah.
And what's his name? James Clear talks about this in his book, The Atomic Habits, the 1% better rule. If you get 1% better every single day, by the end of the year, you'll be 37 times better at doing that thing. And it's the same with YouTube. If you get 1% better on each one of the videos that you make, your 15th video versus your first video will be so much better. And what doing that does is when you make 15 videos, you just understand the craft of making YouTube videos. You understand the process, how it works. And then you can go, okay, yeah, this is something I quite like. This is actually, this works quite well. I know how to make a title. I know how to make a thumbnail. Now let's start getting smart. Now let's start trying to optimize for views and subscribers. But before that, you know, the worst thing in the world is when you've got a channel with no followers.
Yeah.
You spend 6 weeks on a video, upload it, and no one watches it. Mm. It's like the worst way to approach YouTube. It's about making 15 videos up front. Forget about views, forget about subscribers. Make those 15 videos. And then once you've done that, that's when you start to get smart about YouTube.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm going to ask you a really hard question now. I had a video where I was talking about this and I was talking about, I think I was maybe talking about Instagram, but I was like, all we need to do is just focus on micro improvements and across all of our content. Like that's how we get good at something. So it's exactly what you're saying.
Yep.
And one of the comments I got, and I'm pretty sure it was like the top rated comment, so a lot of people agreed, was from a very lovely subscriber explaining that when I say this to her, it stresses her out. She was like, when someone like you saying that I need to improve on all of my content, even if it's micro improvements, really kind of stresses me out because I just want to create for the love of creating and I don't want to feel like I have to improve with every single piece of post or content that I make. So I'll tell you what I responded to afterwards, but I would just love to hear what you would say back to that.
Well, the thing is, you can't not improve, is my response. If you make 15 videos, if you try not to improve, I'd be more impressed if someone makes 15 videos and the 15th video isn't as good as that. Yeah. But like you'll just get better. You'll become, even if the improvements, you get faster. Mm-hmm. You get faster at video editing. You get, you rewatch the first video, the lighting, or maybe it could be improved. Like mm-hmm. you just, the lighting and could be better, and you just change the lighting around slightly.
Yeah.
It's not about like deep diving into the analytics and seeing where the drop off and stuff. It's just, it's like as you say, there's a really good quote that I like, which is, you can't plow a field by turning it over in your head. And it's the same with YouTube. You've got to do YouTube to like get better at YouTube, but that is just innate in the process. If you make 15 videos, your 15th video will be better than the first.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even have to be a conscious improvement, although I still would recommend you try and make it better. But that's how I'd respond to that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good answer. I'm pretty sure I said something along those lines, but I remember I ended it just by saying, and this is something that I feel like, because I know you're going into like the kind of social media coaching space.
Yeah.
And it's something that I notice a lot is that there's no one way to achieve an end result.
Of course.
So what we will do is share the strategies and tactics that have worked for us and our clients. Like that's what our job is. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you have to follow them. And that's like one of the biggest things that I feel myself repeating quite often. Because I think sometimes when I share content and when you share content about this, and I'm sure you get this with your magic content as well, I think people take it as Jade is saying I have to do this.
Yeah.
And now I feel stressed because Jade's saying I have to do this thing and I don't want to do it. But I'm like, but you don't have to do it. We all have our own free will.
Oh, of course.
I'm suggesting routes and things that you could do that I've seen have proven helped someone get to the end result. But no one has to do anything that they really don't like. So if I'm telling you something and it is stressing you out and you can't sleep because you're like, well, Jade said I've got to do this, then don't do it.
I'd say there are certain principles that, you know, you've got to have a high watch time on your video if you want it to do well. Like, that's a fundamental. So I think there is a science to some parts, but then there's also an art to other parts.
Yeah.
And I'd say that the science part is, you could have a high watch time. You've probably got to keep your viewers engaged. You've got to connect with them in most ways. If you want to, especially if you want to monetize your audience, like show authenticity. Not every channel does, but there are certain baseline facts with most channels that if you follow these facts, the chance of your video is doing well will be quite high. But then the art comes in. Well, how do you connect with your viewers? How do you present yourself? And that's what makes it unique to you. You can be like Mr. Beast and like very over the top and very engaging. Or you can be someone like Channel Love, it's called Better Ideas, who just sits in front of and he speaks like this. He's super calm, got 2 million subscribers.
Yeah.
And he just engages with the audience like this. And I love his content. So there's a whole spectrum on how you can present yourself.
Yeah.
But I think it's art form versus a science.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey creators, do you have any burning questions which you really want answered? For example, are you unsure on how to increase your engagement on Instagram? Or maybe you're debating whether to start a membership? Or perhaps you're confused as to which camera you should buy next or what microphone you need to start your podcast. Well, you are in luck because we have the answers. Every Tuesday, we invite you to submit your questions over on our Instagram at thecreatorproject_. Do not forget the underscore. We select one question to answer every single week and we provide detailed answers to that question in our email newsletter. So make sure you follow us on Instagram and submit your questions, and you also sign up to our newsletter to make sure you see the answers. Links to both our Instagram and our newsletter are available in the show notes.
So I'd love to hear more about your process for creating your videos. Can you walk me through it?
Yeah, so with Magic, I've tried to outsource every part of the creation process that I don't enjoy is the wrong word, but I would rather spend time doing other things. So the part that I really love is sitting in front of the camera, talking to my audience and engaging with them, and also coming up with ideas for videos. The parts that I don't particularly like all the time are the editing.
Yeah.
More just because I love editing, but it just takes so long.
It does, yeah.
often things like script writing and coming up with ideas sometimes, just because I know other magicians can come up with better ideas than me for certain videos. So my process essentially starts with me sitting down, and the first thing you always do, and I'm sure you've been told this a million times, you know this, is you come up with the idea of the video first before you turn on the camera. I'd say the biggest the biggest mistake that new YouTubers make, I'd say, is you will film a video, you'll edit the video, you'll upload the video, and you might have the idea already done, but you then think,
retrofit it.
What should I call this? You slap on a title, slap on a thumbnail, and upload it. And the problem with that is, obviously, you might have the best video in the world, but viewers trying to find that video don't see the best video in the world. They just see a little title and a little thumbnail. And if they aren't any good, no one's going to click on it.
Yeah.
So to give you an example, I'm going to India in a couple of weeks to film some magic. I don't know what I'm doing out there yet, but I'm right now figuring out the title and thumbnail of the video, because that is the most important thing for people to actually watch that video.
Yeah.
So the first stage of my videos is always to find the title and the thumbnail before I even turn on the camera.
Yeah. And do you know what? Sorry, just before you continue, because that's such a good point. And it's a point that I think the specific type of YouTubers who struggle with that the most are lifestyle vloggers.
Yeah.
They really struggle because they want to turn the camera off and just vlog their day.
Yeah.
But they haven't pinpointed what part of that day or what they're going to say, what is the hook and what's the value of the day. And because they haven't done that, they go to upload and then they're just like, day in the life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, doesn't work. Especially when you're new, it doesn't work. Because then you see other, you know, really successful creators like Emma Chamberlain is always a person I use who doesn't even need a title, barely needs a thumbnail and will get 8 million views. So then you see that and you're like, well, she doesn't do it. Yeah. And I'm like, we're not Emma Chamberlain. Exactly. We've got to try a bit harder in our early days. So yeah,
100%.
I see that happen a lot. A big mistake I see, especially with like lifestyle vloggers. But there are ways around it if you follow the steps that you just mentioned.
100%. Vlogging is the tough one just because you don't necessarily know what the day is going to entail until you do it. So you do have to kind of film, but you do have to be like, you might see something and go like, oh, that would be a good like topic for this video.
Or you might know that you're going to discuss something. Like if I'm going to vlog a day and I know that I'm going to show the behind the scenes of how to record a podcast, then, and even if that's one part of my day, then I already kind of know what the hook might be there, you know?
Exactly. And it's just not how most people think.
Yeah.
Most people don't think like a YouTuber. They think like themselves, which is totally fine, but it's just part of the process of learning how to be a YouTuber. You got to start thinking like a YouTuber. And every big creator I've ever met always starts off with the title and thumbnail first, and then they move on to the content. So I start off with that, then I film the content myself usually, and then once I've filmed it, I'll do a voiceover if the video requires that, and then I'll send it off to my video editor. I've got to the point now, he knows my style and how to edit things, so it is pretty quick, but when I first started, I would give him very detailed notes on how I want this, the fonts here, the music, the timing. And then he sends that to me. I've already got the thumbnail and title up ready. And then I upload the video. So that's the overall process.
Yeah. And how did you find your video editor?
So I did it through Upwork. So I'd say that's a really good, like, big point. Because I'd say probably the biggest time revelation for me was outsourcing my video editing. I was the same as most YouTubers. Oh, no one can edit videos better than me. No one can do my style. All the usual stuff.
Nobody gets me. So mysterious.
God, I'm so unique. But no, then you find people who can not just edit like you, but edit it far better than you.
Yeah, and quicker as well.
And faster. And you're just like, wow, why didn't I just do this 2 years ago and save hours and hours? So the advice I got given, which was excellent advice, and I'd always recommend it to people when they ask this, is go on Upwork, which is just a platform where you can hire freelance video editors. Put out so step one is go on Upwork. Step two is put out an ad just for free. You just say, I'm looking for a long-term video editor. Long-term is really important because video editors, they want long-term work because it's like a sort of contractual gig. Yeah. They want people who will get repeat work from. So that will get more video editors interested and higher quality video editors. Then what you do is you just ask them to like send the portfolio. You go through the portfolios of all the people who apply. And then what I did, and this was probably the best investment I did, was I hired 4 video editors to edit the same thing. So all 4
battle it out.
Yeah, well, you don't. I was very open. I say this because they want to make it even better. So I say I've hired you and 3 others.
Yeah,
you're down to the final 4, and you send them the files, and then they all come back with like the best video they can do. And of course, that costs a bit more money, but long term, it means you can find the best editor for your style. And then I just chose the best one, and that's how I found my editor. And he's
love it
working for ever since, and he's great.
Great, amazing. That's such good information to know because it's a very common question that people ask.
So common.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you outsource a few other areas. Like, what else do you outsource?
At this point, pretty much everything. So, including recently the magic, which is very interesting.
Oh, how?
So, well, this is a little bit more unique to the magic world, but I'm happy to share anyway.
Yeah.
I still love doing magic, but I'm moving into other spaces, as you mentioned earlier, teaching people how to do YouTube. And I realized time-wise, I can't run a full magic channel and do all the magic whilst also going to this new venture. So I realized that obviously I've got a big platform where magicians, and I realized that so many magicians would love to share their magic with a million people, as it were. So I've basically been going through YouTube, finding other magicians and share. I'm just messaging them saying, A, I'll obviously pay you to work with me because I don't I hate it when people say, I'll give you exposure for free. Exposure doesn't pay the bills. So I always offer to pay. But B, can I use some of your videos or can you make some videos for me? I'll upload them to my channel, obviously give you exposure as well. And I'll do the voiceover and still introduce the video. So it's still me, But the person performing the magic, which takes a long time to learn the sleights and learn the tricks, is someone else. So for me, it was just cold outreach, and lots of magicians have been really interested. So I've just started doing that, and it's great because it frees up so much of my time. But other things that I've outsourced, thumbnails. So I'll take the photos, but there's so many thumbnail editors, $30, $40, who can make insane thumbnails for you. And then script writing through Fiverr. If I'm doing, let's say, a deep dive into a certain magician, hire a really good script writer, and he will write the entire script. So I just read it off the teleprompter.
Amazing. That's so impressive how you've managed to outsource so many different elements. Would you recommend doing something like that, or?
It just depends on the creator. Mm. For me, I've always thought the most important resource that I have is in my own time. Mm. And beyond YouTube and social media, there's things that I want to do. I want to spend time with friends and family. I want to travel. I want to do all these different things. Yeah. And if you spend, my whole thing was I didn't leave a 9-to-5 to get another 9-to-5.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I spend, you know, 6 days a week working on YouTube.
Yeah.
And not doing the other things I want to do at age 24, then I almost felt it's a bit of a waste of my time. So I've outsourced it because it frees up my time, buys back my time to do other things.
Mm.
But I still retain enough to like still really enjoy making the videos and have managing control of them and make the best videos possible.
Yeah, I love that. And I suppose it allows you to ensure that you still love what you do.
Yes.
Because as you mentioned at the start, you mentioned, you know, not necessarily outsourcing tasks that you don't want to do, but maybe ones that aren't very fulfilling.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it does mean that you're left with the stuff that actually fills your cup, as what people say.
Yeah.
Which is nice because a lot of creators burn out. And a lot of the reason why creators burn out is because they fall out of love with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they fall out of love with what they're doing because suddenly everything else comes into play. And then it's not as fun anymore because you're doing the invoicing and the emails and it just becomes like a normal 9-to-5, as you mentioned. So I love that. I think that's a really good strategy for people to ensure they still love what they do. So I want to talk about your course, the magic course that you did. So what made you decide that you wanted to diversify your income in that way?
Yeah, I think it's just the natural thing, which is you start making money through AdSense and brand deals, and it's fantastic.
Mm.
But you realize AdSense is very reliant on a video of yours doing well. And if videos stop performing for whatever reason, the mysterious YouTube algorithm, your income goes down. And the same with brand deals. They can be pretty consistent, but it's reliant on someone else offering you a brand deal and working with companies that way. Plus, I looked into the world of digital products and they are amazing, as I'm sure I know you've got some as well. And it's, if you go through the stats on them, there's passive income, which is not trading your time for money. It's not truly passive because you invest your time up front. But when you really look into it, it is the ultimate form of passive income because profit margins are about 95%.
Mm.
Everything is automated, meaning if someone buys a course, it just gets sent straight to them like automatically via email. Super scalable because you can sell as many of them as possible. And there's very low overhead costs as well.
Mm.
So just on paper, when I was looking into it, I just thought it'd be like the ultimate sort of product to offer my viewers.
Yeah.
In terms of actually doing it, that was, took me 3-4 months to build out this course, and I still add to it, and new things that I learn, I put on there. And yeah, I basically built, it's a course called Card Magic Pro. It's on my website, which is learnmagic.com. And it's basically teaches people, if you've never touched deck cards in your life and you want to go from there to being a professional magician, it takes you the whole way through. We've had people take it and become professional magicians. We've had people take it and go on Australia's Got Talent.
Amazing.
And it's grown into the biggest magic school in the world with 10,000 members. So it's amazing. So it's been a really good journey.
This is slightly off track, but that domain is a great domain. Was that expensive? Learnmagic.com. That sounds expensive.
It was the most amount of money I've ever spent on one thing.
The second you said that, I was like, hold up.
Yeah, it was one of those where I was on, I mean, again, a slight off topic, but I'd looked up because I was like, what would the ultimate domain be? Learnmagic.com. And it was obviously taken.
Mm.
And it was just a complete coincidence. I then re-logged on. I searched it the next day and it'd been taken for like 15 years. And the next day, when I was looking to buy a domain, because it's not like I'd been researching this domain the whole time, it just gone into GoDaddy auctions.
Oh wow. So, I've never bought a domain on GoDaddy auctions.
No, neither had I.
That's how you know it's a popular
domain. I thought this was like a divine intervention or something. I was like, I've got to get it. And I set my budget and I was like, I'm not going over this. And then with like 6 days to go, it was already well over what my budget was going to be. And then I was sitting there and I was like, if I get this will be like my brand, this will be the whole, my company's called Learn Magic LTD. Like it's the whole thing. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go for it.
So
I was bidding for it and it went really high and then I got it. And then they don't include taxes on top of everything as well. So when I got the bill, I was like, oh, an extra several thousand pounds. So it was expensive. But long term, it's been worth it.
Long term, worth it. But like, good for you to back yourself and like bet on yourself like that. Yeah. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, it was I had a couple of shots of whiskey afterwards. Yeah. But I don't know what I've just spent all my money on, but let's hope it's worth it.
That's the kind of thing that I would buy and then just not tell anyone. You know, like, I don't know like what your parents do, but my parents aren't like entrepreneurs. So sometimes if I spend money on something, I'm like, that I can't tell anyone about
how much.
Apart from my like now husband, I'm like, no one else could know. And even with him, like, in the early days, I'd be like, God, I've got to really explain why I've done this, because he's going to be like, what?
Well, I spent £1,000 on a video editor. Yeah, when you've done yourself, like,
it's so hard to understand when you're not fully in it. But I love that. Good decision.
Yeah, I'm happy I've done it now.
Yeah, for sure. So how do you market and sell your course?
Of course. So my whole theory with marketing and selling is offer as much value up front free as possible. Mm. Like, it is the best way for people to like you, engage with you. If they don't buy stuff from you, totally cool. They've got loads of value from you anyway. Mm. And then for the few people, the 0.0001% who do want to invest in you, in my case, it's my magic course, they can support you and your channel. So a lot of people have the other way around. They say, hold back your best information, put that in the course.
Yeah.
With me, I teach some of the best tricks that I know on YouTube for free. And most people who see that will never buy my course and will never give me a penny. But the few who do, they really value what I've done. So when I charge a bit more for my course to really help like support the channel, because it's $199, which is on the bigger spectrum of things, it's a lot of money in the magic world. It's not a lot if it's like a
in the video, business world, not so much.
Not so much in the business world, but in the magic world, where people aren't gonna be spending like $3,000 on a magic course. Mm. It is, so $200 is a lot of money. Mm. So I always just, my theory is offer as much value as you can up front. Mm. The best way to do that is through YouTube or other social media platforms. Give people all the knowledge that they need. And then for me, what I hold back in the course is the implementation. So I will teach you how to do an amazing magic trick for free on YouTube. Mm. But if you want to know how to present that trick, how to have the confidence, how to hold yourself, what to say, all that kind of stuff, well, that's what you can invest in the course. And you get access to me and a bit more. So that's how I separate the paid for course versus just the free stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That was going to be my main question, because again, a common thing that I hear from other creators that I work with is that they're just like, how do I balance like free value versus paid value? Yeah. And I think the way you've done it is amazing. That makes complete sense. That's why a lot of people do it as well, like holding back the implementation side. Mm. It's also like, so for example, I share a lot of detailed, like valuable content for free online. And then people will say, well, what's the difference from the courses? And I'm like, well, I'm going to literally map it out to you from A to B.
Yeah.
You could watch every video I upload on YouTube the second it goes live. None of it's in order.
Yeah.
It does, like, yes, it's going to give you value. It's going to give you a bunch of quick wins. Is it going to teach you how to get from A to B? Absolutely not, because it's about different topics every single week. You know? So I completely agree with like giving a lot of value. It helps people trust you. If you can help someone get a quick win, then they know that you're the real deal.
Well, what you've just highlighted there is people pay for speed.
Yeah.
So again, everything I teach in my course, you can find for free on YouTube pretty much, apart from like my own magic scripts, let's say. But you can find it for free, and by all means do it. But if you don't want to spend months and months and months, and if you want to learn in 5 days what might take you 5 weeks to learn on YouTube, then you can spend $200 and get my course. And if not, that's totally cool. So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not forcing it. I've got a money back guarantee. If you don't want it, 30-day money back guarantee, completely fine. And that's also another great marketing technique, because it pushes people over the edge. And then the idea is that if your course is that good, they will be happy with their purchase. If people are like saying, no, I want my money back constantly, then
that's assigned to you.
It's assigned to you. Exactly. So I think I've got like 3% of people who get the course ask for the money back. So it's definitely worth it. So that's how I'd phrase it. I know magic's a bit of a specific niche, but for anyone watching this who's like thinking about setting up a digital product, I think the most common question that I get is, what should the product be about? Like, how do I know that there's a market for it? How do I know it's actually going to work? How do I price it? And there's loads of different ways to figure these things out. But I always just say, if you don't have a community, like a YouTube channel, then build that first, because maybe get their email addresses and send them free stuff, essentially. And then later on, you can use those email addresses to sell your course. But you can also use those email addresses to figure out what people want to know. So when I built my card magic course, I didn't just make a course. I literally went on my community tab on YouTube and just said, hey guys, I'm thinking about making a course. Who would be interested?
Yeah.
Loads of comments saying we would. I was like, awesome. What do you want to see?
Yeah.
And people listed it out, and I took all the most common questions from my channel. I put them into a big sort of sheet, and then I filtered out a course through what my audience already wanted.
Yeah.
Then it came to pricing. It's like, okay, how do you price a course? And again, I was the same when I started. Most people always charge way too cheap because they're like, oh, no one's going to spend like 100 quid on...
Yeah.
People will.
Yeah.
People will, if it's worth 100 quid, if it saves them that time, if it gives them that value, it is worth it. So you do need to change your mindset when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to sell my course for like $29 when I first did it because I was like...
It's so funny. We all have money mindset problems and no one knows it until we try to sell something.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you really learn it. When you're like, hold on a minute. Like, we all have such money mindset issues. I remember listening to someone once who was talking about like, you should try to be the buyer that you're trying to attract.
Yes.
So the way that we're trying to attract people who would invest in themselves and their self-development, we should try and be that person as well and invest in our own. And I remember hearing that and thinking, do you know what? That's true. I hired a business coach. It was like a year-long group coaching program because I was trying to figure out how to do a group coaching program.
Yes.
Which I did end up doing for a year and it was very successful. But I'd been trying to figure out how to run one effectively for about a year because I was using the free resources, which again, as you said, everything anyone teaches you could find online if you tried hard enough. So I was going down the route of, I'm just going to look online. I'm just going to figure it out. I know it's all there and it was there, but piecing it together and then finding the best route, because you hear so many people's different strategies and it's like trying to figure out how to merge them all and the best way to do it. And just to create a program that was going to help people get the results that I wanted them to get, I was really struggling with. So I invested, I think it was about £15,000 into a year-long group mentorship program. I probably only used about 2 months of it because within 6 weeks I'd created the program, launched it and made four times the money back. And I was like, wow,
that's
really I could have done this a year ago.
It's so funny you say that because I had the same experience. Yeah. So I do run a high ticket coaching magic program. And I remember when I first started, I was going through YouTube and I was like, I'm not going to spend £10,000 on a high ticket program. So I started doing it and it took me like 6 months and I eventually built it, launched it and it didn't do very well. And I was like, okay, let me just invest the money. So I spent £10,000 on a high ticket and the information was the same. Like,
it's so funny, isn't it?
It was like, it was just when someone who's already been successful just telling me, no, you're doing this wrong, or your sales calls, you need to do this, this, this. And I was like, oh, right. And then I just made a few sales calls and I earned the money back. And I was like, it's just such a good investment.
The actual most efficient way of doing it. Just being like, because again, there are so many different ways for you to reach the end result.
Yeah.
That's not useful when you're trying to reach the end result though. I just need someone to tell me one way
yes.
so I can follow it and just get it done quickly.
I'd like 50 different tabs up. Like this person says this for the funnel, this person for the email marketing, this person for the sales script. And it's like, they probably all work.
Yeah.
You just need one way.
But they don't work together.
Yeah, like
there are several things I'm supposed to do. Yeah. And it's so true. And as you said before, like, it doesn't mean that everyone doesn't have to invest to get the shortcut. If you don't want to invest to get the shortcut, then you don't have to.
Yeah.
But I think it's amazing when creators like yourself make this shortcut available for people if that is something that they want to do.
Yeah.
You mentioned at the start that you actually started driving traffic through paid ads. I'd love to know more about that. Is it just organic or do you still do paid ads and what's your strategy?
Yeah. So I was doing organic for the first 3 years of the course and it was going really well. So I never really ventured into doing paid ads. Then I did work with a company and I lost like £25,000.
I've heard so many stories like this. Sometimes I'm like, is it the same company?
it was a company. They were very good, but they just didn't. They were basically an agency and they had lots of clients and their priority wasn't just like one person. It was several people. And it was the first time I'd ever worked with them. So I was a bit naive as well. I should have pulled the plug a lot earlier. Anyway, it was, it's a big old hit, but it was like a lesson learned. So I then strayed away from it, as you can understand, for a while. And then I was like, no, let's give it another go, but let's be a lot more, set a budget. I'm not going over this and being a lot more specifically orientated around it. Started running ads again last month and I'm working with these two guys who are unbelievable and it's just we've already made back the initial investments and now we're in the green for profit and it's
nice.
Going really well, but it's a lot more predictable when trying to scale things. So organic's great because there's no upfront cost apart from me just making a new video, but when you want to really scale it and like have reliable ways to scale your course, that's when paid adverts are so successful, because again, there's a science behind it. There's a certain number of you put this amount of money in, you're going to get this many views and statistically you'll get this many sales. So it's working well now, which is great.
Yeah. You make such a good point, which is one that I don't think is discussed very often, because you're someone who gets a lot of organic traffic already.
Yes.
So it's not like you struggle on that side.
Yeah.
But you make a really good point, because with paid ads, there are actually guarantees and you can break down the funnel, which anyone listening who listens to my content along, they know what I'm talking about. The consumer marketing funnel, you can actually break it down and be like, okay, well, this launch didn't work how I wanted it to work because we didn't get enough views on our content. Yes. But I know that if we got more views and we can get that by spending this amount, yes, then it will work. And it is almost impossible to do that with organic content. Yes. You could do it in hindsight and you can review a launch and be like, oh, okay, it would have been lovely if we went viral a few times. But to make that happen for your next launch, 100%. You don't have control over it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So like when it's more the scary thing of like, you know, you might spend like £1,000 on adverts and the ads don't get your money back. Yeah. And then you think it's just money thrown, yes, burnt. But that's why you need people who are really good at doing it. So I'd say the most important thing for that is I would get an agency to do it. Mm-hmm. I've looked into doing it myself and I have done it myself in the past. It's just a time thing. Mm. I'm sure I could run the ads that they're doing, but not as well. Mm-hmm. And I'd be spending like, you know, 4 or 5 days a week doing it, which, yeah, I don't want to be doing. So I'm happy if they're taking a cut,
yeah,
running that for me. Mm. But then it's working with people who I've got a call with them today. We've got a weekly call. We go over the money, how much it's lost, including their fees, including everything, not just like, oh, the course has made X amount of money,
but
minus how much we spent on ads, minus their fees, minus all this. So it's black and white. And if it's not working, you say it's not working, you set yourself a budget. And that's what I didn't do the first time. I was just like, oh, well, it's getting a bit better each month. And then the losses stacked up, and when I got to a certain amount, I was like, okay, we gotta stop this.
Yeah, no, that's really good to hear that you've found two people who are really great and really, really good at what you do, because a paid advertising is a bit of a pay to play model. So you have to invest quite a lot. Well, not a lot, but you have to invest money, because the way it works is like, it takes a couple months for it to even understand who your audience are properly. So you saying that you're a few months in with these guys and now you're in the green is actually incredible, because a lot of the time it takes a lot longer than that. And that's why people get put off, because they're like, well, I invested thousands and thousands in month one and I've lost money or I haven't made money, without realizing that that's not the objective of month one. It's like a data gathering process. Yes.
And one of the awesome things about having a YouTube channel is you can use them as your warmest leads.
Yeah.
So that's how when I approached this one, I said, I want to take it much slower and be a lot more methodical. And what they said is like, okay, instead of like advertising on Facebook, TikTok, we're just going to do Google. We can use your current subscribers as your warmest leads, people who subscribed to you in the last 30 days, and just show them adverts.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work with them, the people have literally subscribed to you, creating a cold list of people that
it's
not going to work with them. So we actually did test one sales page and one thing for my course, and it didn't. We got a couple of sales, but it didn't work. So we were like, okay, that's nothing to do with the people. We've got a lot of clicks. It was to do with the price point. We were able to figure that out. So we've done like a webinar funnel now, and we've lowered the price point in the webinar funnel, and that started to work.
Right.
So it's just about being very methodical with everything you do and not wasting money and trying to do 50 things at once.
And also not reinventing the wheel every time as well, because it's a common thing. They'll be like, well, the launch didn't work or that didn't work, so let's change every single part. Let's change the creative, let's change the call to action, the landing page, the price point. And then it's like, well, then how on earth do you know? Like, if that doesn't work or it does work, you have no idea what made that work. Yeah, gosh, marketing.
Nah. We'll leave that to someone else to do.
I know, so much goes into it. Okay, well, I mean, this has been such an incredible conversation. I want to know what's next for you.
Yeah, well, I mentioned at the beginning, but I'm going into teaching and coaching people how to do social media, specifically YouTube, and setting up courses and running that. I think, as you mentioned at the beginning, being a YouTuber wasn't even a job 5 years ago. And I think there was a study that came out recently in the UK. It was like 75% or one in four children between the ages of like 6 and 17, their dream job was to become a social media influencer or a YouTuber. So it's such an emerging industry, and so many people want to do it, not necessarily even full-time, but just part-time as a hobby or to get more leads for their business or whatever it is. And having been on the other end, being a creator for so long and learning the strategies and the techniques, I find it really fulfilling in the past when I've been teaching other people how to also create YouTube channels. So I'm moving into that world now, which is why it's lovely to connect with you and be on here and share advice with your audience.
Yeah, love it. Okay, well, Oscar, thank you so much for today. Like, this has been such a great conversation and so much value is within it. So I'm sure my audience are going to absolutely love it. I will put links to all of your social channels, your website, etc. below, so that anyone can just head to the description and find out more and connect with you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You've just listened to an episode of The Creator Project. We upload new episodes every single week. So if you've not hit that subscribe or follow button yet, then what are you doing? Be sure to hit subscribe or follow before you leave so that you don't miss out on our new content. If you feel like supporting our podcast, we would absolutely love it if you could leave us a review and share our podcast with someone else who might get value from it. Don't forget to hit us up on our socials. Links can be found in the show notes. Thanks again. We'll speak soon.